friends. Welcome in once again for our Live at 5 sermon series we've been doing here for a handful of weeks now on Sunday nights, where we go live at 5, present a lesson from God's Word, and study it to see how we can be better pleasing to God. My name is Justin Reed. I am honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ there at the base of Short Mountain in Woodbury. Oh, you would be our honored guest at any and all services that we are having. Anything we're a part of, you are our honored guest. I am currently sharing this to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ, just so more people can watch this, because the more people that hear the gospel, not just that I'm speaking, that's not what I'm saying, but the more people that hear the gospel, the better it is. So I have shared that. I'm going to get this out of the way. I do hope and pray that you're having a good day. It seems like this virus may want to stick around longer than I had hoped, but regardless, if we're doing our best to live faithful, thus saith the Lord, we will get through if we're following His commands. And that happens whether there's a pandemic or whether everything is happy hunky-dory. If we're faithful to the Lord, He is faithful to us. Tonight, what I want us to do is we go live at 5 here in our Live at 5 sermon series. I want us to look at a great statement that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes in the 11th chapter of the book of John. So before we get to our introduction, I've got my copy of God's Word turned there to John 11, 25 and 26. We're going to be referencing this chapter and specifically these two verses a lot in our lesson here tonight. So I would encourage you to maybe take your ribbon marker and your Bible. I've placed mine there just so we can get to it easily. But let's read these two verses and then begin our lesson here today. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, in our lesson text, this is the story of the death and then subsequently the resurrection of Lazarus. But when we're talking about this phrase that Jesus Christ makes, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life, friends, this is a phrase that is central to Christianity. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 says that the death, burial, and the resurrection constitute the gospel. So when we preach the gospel, we preach the death, burial, resurrection. When we preach the death, burial, resurrection, we're preaching the gospel. In fact, go over to John 19 and verse 35, and Jesus put it this way. Jesus Christ says, the Bible says in John 19, 35, and he that saw it bear record. And this record is true. He knoweth that what he saith is true. Why? That you might believe. John says, the things that I saw are true. The things that I am writing are true. And I've written them so that you must believe. Now, there are seven I am statements in the book of John, which make for a great study in and of itself. But it seems like this one might tell us more than all the others. Who is Jesus? Well, he's the Son of God. He has power and authority. He brings hope. He gives life to the dead. He promises a great future. He overcame death, and he saves through baptism. That's kind of where I want us to spend our time here this evening, looking at these different aspects that we see Christ mentioning, making a reference to here in John chapter 11, 25 and 26. As a bonus lesson to you, which did not make it on the presentation because I was running out of room just to get this in, the resurrection of Lazarus, if you're like me and like Bible trivia, is the seventh and final resurrection of someone from the dead. They begin in 1 Kings with the resurrection Elijah does, and then they go all throughout the rest of the Old Testament up unto John chapter 11. So there's your fun little tidbit here, maybe a good week-long study. Who is Jesus? He is the resurrection and the life. Number one, friends, he is the Son of God. And in fact, only Jesus the Christ could make this claim. I can't. John couldn't. Peter couldn't. Only Jesus the Christ. In fact, John 11, 27, she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So, when he is talking here and he's talking to Martha, she says, Lord, I already believe that. I already know that you're the Son of God. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Once again, Jesus says in John 9:35, Jesus heard they cast him out, and when he had found him, Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? See, once again, Jesus makes that claim that he is the Son of God, not a Son of God, not one of the sons of God. No, friends, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten. And it's not just maybe his first, it's not maybe just his favorite. It is the only one like that, so much that they broke the mold after. Well, let's see how John almost concludes the book. There are 21 chapters in the book of John, but John makes a great statement here in John 20:20-21. When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. See, he claims to be sent of the Father. And the resurrection of his friend Lazarus from the dead substantiated. It proved the claim that Jesus is the Son of God. And his own resurrection, which would happen at the end of the book of John, provides undeniable proof, because there were people who didn't believe that Lazarus died and rose again, but almost everybody, it seemed, in the world at that time knew about the death and the burial and then the resurrection of Jesus. Now, not all believed it as they should have. When Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and I am the life, friends, he's saying, number one, he is the Son of God. Number two, when Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and I am the life, he is being powerful. He is being authoritative. Go back with me to our lesson text chapter of John chapter 11, and let's start reading in verse 39, and we'll go through verse 45. John 11:39-45. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him, let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. Jesus Christ is a powerful, he's authoritative. In fact, there is no doubt concerning his power from our lesson text here, because all he did, well, he prayed. And he prayed not that he had doubts in God, but that the people did, and so he needed to remove those doubts. But then he prayed and he called Lazarus come forth. And with great power and with great confidence, friends, Lazarus was raised from the dead. And there could have been no doubting, was Lazarus dead? Because his body would have been stinking. The natural process where the body starts to decompose once the soul leaves the body had begun. Christ is being powerful. There's a great result. Even the Jews that claim that Christ was not who he claimed he was, which he was. But even some of these Jews, they saw Lazarus. They may have seen him come forth. And they believed. They acknowledged his authority, friends. With that same power that Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, he was resurrected as well. John chapter 5, go with me there for just a minute. John 5:25-27. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. See, there he goes, calling himself the Son of God again. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. It's the same resurrection, the same power that raised Lazarus. Christ would raise himself up from the dead. There at the end of the gospel accounts. In fact, this is the same thing. I'm not going to read all 14 of these verses, but if you go back to Acts chapter 2, that first sermon on the day of Pentecost that Peter's recorded there preaching, and all the apostles are there doing wonderful things. Peter says the same power that Jesus has had is what raised Jesus from the dead. And it, friends, it is that same power that made Jesus, the Son of God. Also see what Paul said in Philippians 3, 8 through 11. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them but dung, he says, that I may win Christ, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, what's Paul saying? I'm glad you asked. Paul is saying he wants to be part of that power. He says it's not of the law. Paul says, I'm following the law, but it's the power of God. When Jesus Christ says, I'm the resurrection and life, he's powerful. He's authoritative. He calls Lazarus to come forth out of that grave. No one else. He didn't say, come forth, they all came out. He specified, and then out walks the proof. Number three, Jesus Christ, when he says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life, Jesus Christ becomes the bringer of hope. Because with the resurrection, that brings us hope, and that eternal life brings us hope, friends. Because once again, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, or believest thou this? Friends, Jesus Christ brings hope. What's that hope? That those that are dead shall live, and those that are living shall never die. Now you be saying, wait, preacher, wait, Brother Justin. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed a man once to die. Yes, it is. This is not a contradiction. It's a complementary passage. I'm not talking about physical death. Christ is not talking about physical death. Those that die in the Lord shall live spiritually. Those that are living spiritually, although they may die physically, they will never die spiritually. Boy, that's hope. This world is a wicked place, friends. This world is a crazy place. And if you don't believe me, go back and look at the calendar events of 2020 thus far. But look at any year, not just this year. It's a crazy place. One constant remains true is Jesus Christ is the bringer of hope. No matter what the world is going through, Jesus Christ always brings hope. Go with me to Acts 24, if you will, for just a moment or two. Acts 24, verses 14 and 15, where here the Bible says Paul is gone before Felix. In fact, Paul is making a defense for his life. He's also preaching to Felix, and Felix makes that great, almost great confession. He says, when I have a more convenient season, I'll listen to you again. But notice here, verse 14, Paul says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. You see what Paul's doing here? The way, that's Christianity. He says, I have hope because of the resurrection. We have a great hope because Jesus rose from the dead, knowing also that we shall rise from the dead. 1 John 3 and the second verse, the Bible says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. I like the way John does it. John says, I don't have everything figured out. I don't know all the details. Now, John knows what's going to happen. Friends, I know what's going to happen. The trumpet will sound. Those that are faithful in the Lord will raise first. Those that have died, and those of us that remain, if we're still here, maybe, I don't know when, but those that are faithful on the earth will be caught up in the air second. I know what the Bible says. I can quote 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, or at least paraphrase it to you. I have no idea how that's going to work because I'm not God. And John says, I don't exactly know how it's going to work, but I know what's going to happen. He says, I know that when he shall appear, we will be like him. And we will see him as he is. And that's enough for me. John says, that's enough for me. That gives us hope. Also, let's see what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. In that passage I was just mentioning, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, Paul knows that this is very comforting, very bringing of hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That brings us hope. Knowing I don't have to know exactly how it works, I just know what's going to happen, and I am faithful to that. Jesus Christ is the bringer of hope. Number four, when Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life, well, he's the bringer of life. In fact, Jesus just said it, I am the resurrection and the life. There in that immediate context, Jesus Christ brought life to Lazarus. Today, he brings life to those who believe in him. Suffice it to say, because we're going to come back to Romans and Galatians, just go with me there to 2 Corinthians 5 for just a minute on this one. We'll come back to those other verses. Not that they're not important, but we'll come back to them. We see 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus Christ is the bringer of life. Therefore, he says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He brings a new life to those who are in Christ. He brings eternal life to those who believe. In fact, I find it interesting, friends, that John, per capita, mentions more about eternal life than Matthew, than Mark, or than Luke. That's what John had his goal set on. Look there in John 3, 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you believe, you'll have life. If not, you will not have life. Also, John 6, there in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, Jesus says, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus keeps talking about it. Eternal life, everlasting life. I'm the bringer of life. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Friends, Jesus Christ is the bringer of life. Eternal life. Number five, Jesus Christ is the promiser of salvation, or the one who promises salvation. Once again, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then believest thou this? Do you believe this promise, friends? You better. I'll just go ahead and put all these up here. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. John 5, 28, 29. Jesus says, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, they shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Jesus Christ promises salvation. He says, when I come back, those that are faithful will have eternal life, and those that are not faithful will have eternal condemnation. That's a promise. You may say, well, that's not going to work out so well if you're against God. That's true, but look out how well it will work if you're with God. He's promising you eternal life. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us that this promise will occur. Go with me to Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men that he hath raised him from the dead. God commanded all men everywhere to repent, for there is coming a day when we shall be judged. We'll be judged according to the way that we've lived our lives. If we've lived faithfully, receiving that eternal home. If we've lived wickedly, receiving that eternal, faithfully that eternal home of joy, and wickedly that eternal home of sorrow. One more passage on this point. We'll move on. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. I feel you are familiar with this, maybe. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20, where the Hebrew writer says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope, the author says, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, he's made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, we're promised there in verse 18, two immutable things. One, that God cannot lie, and two, God's promise, and that gives us hope. He's promised us salvation at the end if we're faithful to him. Number six, though, when Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and I am the life, that proves to you and that proves to me that Jesus is the overcomer. You remember there, John 11, 45, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Through this statement, Lazarus overcame the bonds of death. Lazarus was dead. There is no doubt in my mind, not even a millimeter of doubt, that Lazarus was dead. The Bible tells me, the Bible tells you, Lazarus was dead for four whole days. Yet, when Christ says, Lazarus, come forth, he overcame death. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the hallmark passage, if you will, about the resurrection and the glories and the benefits to us as Christians because of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. We're talking about how Christ is the overcomer. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, friends. That means that through Christ we can overcome as well. We overcome death through him. Flip over just a handful of verses to verse 50. The Bible says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, it is through and only through Jesus Christ that we can overcome death. He is the overcomer. One more passage on this, and then we'll look at our final point. Romans 6, 8 through 11, the Bible says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, yet you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, friends, when Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection, I am the life," he's the overcomer. And if we are with him, we can overcome death. And it's only through him. But lastly, when Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life," he showed us that he is the Savior. In fact, he provides for salvation through the resurrection. You're with me there in Romans? Let's read the whole thing. Probably my favorite passage in Romans. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. But in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Oh, how wonderful. We no longer serve sin. We don't sin just because we can get forgiven, friends, but we serve Jesus Christ, and through him we can be forgiven. Go with me. I told you we'd wind back up in Colossians 2 and verse number 12. Colossians 2, 12. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Now notice that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th word. Buried with him in baptism. So that's where Paul told those at Colossae that Jesus Christ is truly our Savior, is that in baptism. But don't just take Paul's word for it. Let's see how Peter put it in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21. 1 Peter 3, 21, he's just talked about how Noah saved by water and saved the world by water. Now look at 1 Peter 3, 21. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Friends, Jesus Christ is our Savior. And he provided for us salvation through the resurrection. How do we contact that? We've talked about it in Romans 6, 3, and 4. We've talked about Colossians 2, 12. We talked about it 1 Peter 3, 21. By baptism, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, we go under that water, come up a new creature alive in Christ. When Jesus Christ said unto Martha, "I am the resurrection and I am the life," he was being very profound in that. In those two verses, and he said that he is the Son of God, that he is powerful, he is authoritative, he is the bringer of life, he is the bringer of hope, he is the promiser of salvation, he is the overcomer, and he is the Savior. And friends, no other one save Jesus Christ could make a claim as this and it be true. Yet Jesus said it, and it is true, and we have seen biblically. I hope this lesson has encouraged you. If you're not serving this Jesus Christ, why not do so today? If you have questions, I would love to be of assistance to you if I can. Maybe you want to send me a message privately. You can send it publicly, that's fine, but privately, I'd be glad to either assist you or try to put you in contact with somebody maybe closer to you, depending on where you're at. If you would like a copy of these notes, they're online, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources, or you can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible. They're found in the sermon section, R-E-E-D for Bible, and make sure you just click on the Bible resources, and it's all there. Everything we've done here online is there. If you want it, it's there for you. Very quickly, three upcoming studies I'd be honored if you would join us, be a part of. Our midweek Bible study, we're going to look at Acts 22. That will be at 6:30 Central Time here on Facebook. Thursday night, we're still in Matthew chapter 22. My father-in-law, Bill Boyd, that happens Thursday night, 6:30, also here on Facebook. Then Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we'll be back in the building, and you would be our honored guest for that as well. Please share this video so that others may learn from this, be able to watch this, study from this, and you never know what good a simple share on your end that you say, well, it's not going to do any good. Well, you never know. Somebody may have been struggling with this passage in John or any of the points we've talked about tonight, and your simple sharing of this video may help them to be a better Christian. So please share that. And I do thank you for being with us. Please join us again Wednesday night if the opportunity presents itself. One of the wonderful things about live videos is they're archived forever, so they are easy to find. If you happen to miss part of it, you can just wait for the replay and go back and start over again. Thank you once again for joining our study. I'll close it the same way we finished every lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. And thank you for watching.